You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is John Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams. Flying solo today without my tag team partner, going into singles competition without David Walker. Make sure you go follow David on Twitter at D_walk74. And make sure you're tuned in for the Thursday edition of Locked On Sooners as well, where he's going to have another high-flying, high-impact players lounge this week featuring Teddy Lehman, Mark Clayton. You're not going to want to miss that episode. It's going to be fantastic, fantastic content. Again, so make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Sooners podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We got a lot of news and notes we're going to cover in this show. First thing we got to start off and talk about is, what about the Oklahoma softball team? They just opened their season playing home run derby down playing UTEP and Abilene Christian. And I mean, I haven't seen scores like that since I was playing Little League Baseball and I was on the mound, and I was not a very good pitcher in high school or in Little League. I didn't pitch at all in high school, but in Little League, I was not a very good pitcher. And there were times where I was giving up a lot of home runs like that too, or walking guys on to get on base. That was not my position, but man, what an incredible feat that the Oklahoma women put on over the weekend, their first weekend back in action for the 2021 season. Just swept them, put up 21 runs against UTEP, beat Abilene Christian 11-0. They're run ruling people. Fantastic start to the season for those ladies, up to fourth in the nation nationally now. And Tiare Jennings, probably butchered that first name, Tiare Jennings was named the Louisville Slugger and the National Fast Pitch Coaches Association Player of the Week. And then she also earned the Big 12 Player of the Week. And she's just a freshman, so this was just her debut. She went 12 for 13. Let me repeat that. Miss Jennings went 12 for 13 at the plate with 5 home runs and 12 RBIs. She hit 923. Like, I couldn't do that in a video game. That's how good she was in her first weekend. That was her first weekend playing collegiate softball. And she went 12 for 13 with 5 home runs and 12 RBIs. She had as many RBIs as she had hits. That just incredible to me. And 5 home runs. I'm dumbfounded by this. I don't understand how you could be that good. She had 30 total bases, this is all from Soonersports.com. But we got to talk about it, because how often is it that a freshman comes in? Now, yes, it's against UTEP, it's against Abilene Christian, not your top-notch programs in college softball. But to do that in her first 13 plate appearances was phenomenal. Now, the Sooners against UTEP, in their 29-0 win, excuse me, I said 28 runs earlier, but it was 29-0 win over UTEP, they hit 13 home runs. Let that sink in for a second. 13 home runs. That incredible. And so Jennings, 3 home runs, tied a school record for single game home runs. And Grace Lyons also had 3 home runs in that game as well. So the Sooners, they can bomb, they can bang. This is like the 28 Yankees. They got Murderer's Row up there just launching bombs from the plate. So shout out to the ladies of the Oklahoma women's softball team. Off to a fantastic start. They're on their way to contending for a national championship in 2021. Big times there. It's going to be something to watch. And, you know, there's a lot of big things happening with Oklahoma athletics right now, and we'll talk more about it too. But, you know, we've seen how well the men's basketball team has done this season. Austin Reeves, he was the Big 12 Player of the Week this week. A lot of that had to do with his performance against West Virginia on Saturday in that double overtime win, where he had 28 points, almost had a triple double because he had quite a few rebounds, quite a few assists. But yeah, Austin Reeves and the Oklahoma men's basketball team are playing great right now. And then, you know, let's talk a little bit about the women's gymnastics team as well, because they are on fire in their own right. Now, we know Oklahoma women's gymnastics is something to be reckoned with, and they're going to continue to be reckoned with as well. Now, let's just run down. So they've had the gymnast of the week, Miss Anastasia Webb, come on down, 4 out of the last 6 weeks. So they're doing fantastic. And this week they were honored with the Big 12 Weekly Awards. Audrey Davis, Jordan Draper, and Anastasia Webb were each honored by the conference this week. Webb got the Gymnast of the Week award for her 7th time in her career and 4th time this season. Like we just talked about, she's won it 4 times in the last 6 weeks. Audrey Davis won the Newcomer of the Week award. And then Draper earned her first career honor as the event specialist of the week, according to Soonersports.com. So fantastic job by the gymnastics team. And that's, I know we talk a lot about Oklahoma football. We talk a lot about basketball, but we got to take an opportunity to highlight the accomplishments of these other sports at Oklahoma, because they are phenomenal. I mean, the Oklahoma gymnastics program is one of the best in the country. The softball team has historically been one of the best in the country and looks like it's off to a great start this season. So we don't want to not mention them because it's absolutely newsworthy. And while we may not talk about them much, and I honestly, you know, I'm not an expert on women's gymnastics or, you know, softball. I played baseball growing up, so I know a little bit about the sport, but I'm not as in tune and in touch with what's going on there. But we got to mention it because it's absolutely newsworthy, and I want you to be aware of it. So you can go to Soonersports.com and you can watch some of these games. Or if you are on Fox Sports Southwest and you catch an Oklahoma women's basketball game or softball game, or even a basketball game, because they had a big win over West Virginia over the weekend as well to complete the Sooner sweep in Morgantown. Make sure you check it out, because these other sports, they're having a lot of success right now. And I think it's flying under the radar. So make sure you go check that out. You know, not only did Austin Reeves win Player of the Week this week, but the Oklahoma women's basketball team earned earned a Player of the Week award, and that went to Maddie Williams for her performance against West Virginia on Saturday. She was fantastic as well. She scored 21 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, and against Iowa State, she had 27 points and 13 rebounds against the Cyclones. So, Maddie Williams getting the award just like Austin Reeves did for the men's side. The Oklahoma women's basketball team had a nice week as well. So big shout out to them. Again, make sure you're going and following what's going on with Oklahoma athletics, because it's an athletic department that's having a lot of success right now. And we want to make sure that you are aware of how good they are performing at this point in the season. So coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the recruiting news that's come down this week with some of the 2022 recruits. And then in the final segment, we'll talk a little bit about some of the Sooners heading to the NFL, what's going on, where they're projected to land. We'll do that next on the Locked On Sooners podcast, so make sure you stick around. But first, I want to talk to you a little bit about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. It's not even close. I've had protein bars all my life, you know, as an athlete, playing high school sports, college sports. I've eaten a lot of protein bars, but nothing, I mean, absolutely nothing tastes as good as Built Bar. I mean, it literally does taste like a candy bar. There's nothing about it that tastes like a protein bar to me. It's 100% covered in chocolate. They've got 18 great flavors. My favorite is the peanut butter brownie. I'm a big peanut butter and chocolate guy, and this one hits home with me every single time. If you haven't tried it, I highly recommend it. I also like the coconut almond. David has talked a lot about the coconut flavors that are his favorites. I also love the coconut almond one. Toffee almond is one of my favorites. Any of the brownie ones, mint brownie is fantastic. German chocolate cake, I had one of those last week, and I realized how much I liked it. So many wonderful flavors. Highly recommend you just get one of those 18-pack variety packs that has one of each in there, and you can try them all and see which ones you like the best. So you can go to builtbar.com. You can use promo code LOCKEDON and you can save 20% off your first and your next order of Built Bar at builtbar.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. And now we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the 2022 recruits that have kind of have started to narrow down their lists, and Oklahoma has landed on them. So we got Jake Taylor, the offensive tackle out of Bishop Gorman High School in Las Vegas. He has narrowed down his final three, and Oklahoma has landed in there along with Alabama and Notre Dame. You know, he talked about it to Rivals, to 247 Sports, about why he chose those three as his final three. And a lot of it comes down to the NFL pedigree and the players that these teams are putting into the NFL. You look at some of the best offensive line selections over the last 5-6 years. Alabama, Notre Dame, Oklahoma produced some of the best offensive linemen in the game over the last 5 or 6 years. And so Jake Taylor, not to be confused with Jake Taylor from Major League, has labeled Oklahoma as one of his final three schools. And I imagine he'll be in it right up to the end, as most of these offensive linemen are going to be. You know, it'd be interesting to see exactly where he lands. Most people, it looks like 247 Sports is predicting that he'll go to Notre Dame. The crystal ball says it has it at 100%. We'll see. A lot can change between now and the time he actually commits. But, you know, there you go. Potential for Oklahoma to land another big-time offensive line recruit. And then another offensive player that they are looking at, and that is four-star tight end from Georgia, Oscar Delp. So Oscar Delp has narrowed down his schools to 13 at this point. Got Oklahoma, Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana State, Michigan, Northwestern, North Carolina, South Carolina, Stanford, and USC. So some interesting names there. I think Oklahoma will probably find themselves in the final, you know, the top five at least because of their success at tight end. You know, guys like Jermaine Grisham, Mark Andrews, they've been one of the better schools at utilizing the tight end position. I think Lincoln Riley does a really good job at figuring out ways to integrate tight ends into his offense, not only the run game, but the passing game as well. We saw Austin Stogner really having a nice season until the Baylor game when he got injured and wasn't able really to suit up for much of the rest of the season. So if Oklahoma could land Jake Taylor, Oscar Delp for 2022, that really would help set the tone for that recruiting class for 2022, 2023, 2024 as well, and get their offense really on the right track. We know that Lincoln Riley is going to be able to recruit offense. Of that, I have zero doubt. And whatever deficiencies the recruiting class might have on offense, you know, he'll pick up in the transfer portal as well. They've probably been one of the bigger beneficiaries of the transfer portal over the years, obviously at quarterback, but at other positions as well. And so it'll be interesting to see how these play out. I think Oklahoma is going to probably be in line for a lot of these 2021, 2022 recruits, 2023 as well, because of how good they've been offensively over the years. And with as good a defense as they've played the last couple of years, especially in 2020, you're going to start to see Oklahoma starting to land more big time recruits on the defensive side of the football as well, especially as they start putting some of those players in the NFL. And we will talk about where some of these players that have declared for the NFL are headed in 2021, who's going to participate in Oklahoma's Pro Day, and what kind of projection they might have. And we'll do that next here on Locked On Sooners. But first, let me talk to you a little bit about betonline.ag. BetOnline has the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. You can even bet on Oklahoma football future odds, like Spencer Rattler's odds to win the Heisman Trophy or Oklahoma's odds to win the national championship. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website and use our promo code LOCKEDON to get your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. So go to betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And betting on the Oklahoma Sooners, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. And now we're going to talk a little bit about the NFL draft, where Oklahoma is sending some of these guys, how they're going to be be projected, who might be landing in the first round, who might be projected in the second round, who's going to be at their pro day. And there are going to be six players that are going to be going to Oklahoma's pro day. Obviously, Ronnie Perkins will be there. Adrian Ealy, offensive tackle. Ramondre Stevenson at running back. We talked about Ronnie Perkins. He's going to be there. Trey Norwood and Trey Brown. And so it's interesting to me, you know, if you look at, you know, mock drafts, if you look at some of these mock draft simulators, there's great ones out there. You know, if you like to play around with mock drafts, I do, whether it's for fantasy football or for the NFL, it can be just a lot of fun to see, you know, how these teams or how these guys are projecting and how they might end up and where they might land in the NFL draft come April. But, you know, as I was doing mock drafts maybe like 2-3 weeks ago, as I covered the Dallas Cowboys for InsideTheStar.com, you know, I was seeing like guys like Ronnie Perkins at times falling into the fourth round in some of these mock draft simulators. And at times, I mean, those simulators are fairly accurate in a lot of ways, but there's also times where you have to take them with a little bit of grain of salt. Because when I see a guy like Ronnie Perkins, not just the production, but the ability that he has to rush the passer, there's no way to me he's a fourth round projection or a third round projection or even a second round projection. I can see him falling into the second round because you never know how the first round is going to go based on team need and depth at position, player composition. You know, if more quarterbacks and offensive tackles get, you know, bumped up because those are premium picks that teams are always chasing, or premium positions teams are always chasing, then it could cause edge rushers to fall. It could cause running backs to fall, things of that nature. So we're seeing, you know, I've been seeing a lot of, you know, Ronnie Perkins projected in the second, third round. Well, Daniel Jeremiah, he's a NFL analyst for the NFL Network, projected and in his latest mock draft put Ronnie Perkins to the New York Jets in the first round at pick number 23. And I think that's about right for Ronnie Perkins. I think the attitude, the swagger, the ability, the production that he brings to the table is 100% a first round pick. You're not going to find many pass rushers with the pedigree that he has, the pass rush diversity that he has. I mean, he can win with power. He can win with speed. He can win with finesse. He's got everything that you want in a defensive end, and plays nasty. He plays with a lot of fire, and he's got enough length to be able to be a disruptive player on the edge. And he's got enough size, and he can even get bigger. You know, he's 6'3", 247 now, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, was able to add 10 more pounds when he got to the NFL. I mean, he's good. He's a great player. And so seeing Daniel Jeremiah put him in the first round has me feeling a little bit better about where some of these scouts and front offices might have Ronnie Perkins heading into the NFL draft. Because again, he was a productive player at OU. He has the ability that teams are looking for to rush the passer, and he plays with a lot of speed and with a lot of strength, and he's going to hold up against NFL competition. He's not going to be a guy that shies away from the battle and the competition. The other, you know, another interesting note, Ramondre Stevenson, currently, you know, he's SoonersWire.com is projecting him into the fourth round. And I see that happening mostly because he has very limited time as a lead back. I mean, we saw it for the most part just in the last half of this season and at times in 2019, but he doesn't really have a full season of carrying the ball, you know, 15, 20 times a game and being that lead rusher for a team. However, you know, when I look at Ramondre Stevenson, I see a guy like Derrick Henry. Now, Derrick Henry was a second round pick, and we've seen the success that the Tennessee Titans have had offensively with Derrick Henry running the football. If a team has similar comparisons for Ramondre Stevenson, I could see him jumping up into the second round because teams need power backs that have good agility, good quickness, and can make big plays. And he can make big plays both in the running game and in the passing game. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him bump up a little bit into the, you know, the second round or third round. The other one that's a bit surprising to me is Creed Humphrey. I don't know exactly why his projection has dropped off. You know, going into the 2020 draft, I think most people expected him to be a first round pick, probably the highest rated interior offensive lineman. And And now I think we're seeing him projected a lot of times in the second or third round. And it just has me scratching my head. I'm like, he didn't have a worse season in 2020 than he did 2019. I mean, Oklahoma's offense wasn't as good, but I don't think that has much to do with Creed Humphrey. And I think if he does last into the second round, somebody's going to get a steal of a player and somebody who can start for your team for the next 10 to 15 years, because he's a durable player and he's a smart player and he's a physical player. He's what you're looking for on the interior of your offensive line, somebody to play center. And if you got a young quarterback that you're trying to, you know, bring up in the NFL, he'd be a perfect fit for somebody like, say, like a Joe Burrow who needs some offensive line help. I think, you know, Creed Humphrey would make a lot of sense at the top of the second round to a team like that. I could still see him sneaking into the bottom of the first round, you know, because there are teams always need offensive line play, and there are not enough offensive linemen to have 32 starting quality offensive lines. And so teams will often, you know, give a bump to offensive line because it's so important in protecting your quarterback, especially nowadays when the defensive tackle position is becoming even more dominant at pass rusher with guys like Aaron Donald and Fletcher Cox and Ndamukong Suh. You need interior offensive linemen almost as much as you need tackles in the NFL anymore, because if you can't protect the front of the pocket and give your quarterback a place to step up into, it's going to be really, really difficult for them to have any kind of production. We saw it in the Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes. You know, Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh really made it almost impossible for Patrick Mahomes to be able to step up into the middle of the pocket to get the ball downfield. I mean, those edge rushers were causing a lot of fits too, but Patrick Mahomes had nowhere to go. So he had to bail on the pocket every single time because there's no front of the pocket for him to step up into. So I could see Creed Humphrey getting a bit of a bump because of his success. Another guy I could see getting a bit of a bump, you know, SoonersWire.com currently has him projected in, you know, rounds 5 through 7. I think that's about right. Again, I could see him getting a little bit of a bump into the fourth round, maybe even the third, into those compensatory picks at the end of the third round. He was a solid player for OU, but I don't think he was a guy that just like jumps off the page and you're like, yeah, he's definitely going to be an NFL talent, you know, for a long time. I mean, it's possible he could grow into a starting role. And, you know, offensive line play, like we talked about with Creed Humphrey, people need good offensive linemen. And so somebody's going to take a chance on him, hoping that they can develop him into, you know, a starting swing tackle, you know, maybe just a low end starter kind of a thing. So we'll see. And then the other two guys that are going to be attending that pro day, Trey Norwood and Trey Brown. And again, these defensive backs I'm continually puzzled by their decision to go into the NFL draft. Currently, you know, they're being projected as round 7 or undrafted free agents. And, you know, I get, you know, you don't want to waste any more of your years playing for free in college football. And, you know, they had productive senior seasons. They had productive, you know, Trey Brown was great at the Senior Bowl. And so there's an opportunity for them to bump up a little bit. But I think, you know, I just don't think that they've got enough positive pub for what they did in 2020. I think still teams look at the Oklahoma defense, and aside from Ronnie Perkins, they don't really see a lot of playmakers, even though these guys had, you know, quite a few picks, you know, Trey Norwood in particular. The coverage ability, I think, is still a little bit lacking, especially in man coverage. Both these guys are a little bit undersized. And, you know, the NFL is looking for guys that are 6 feet or taller more often than not. But, you know, you could see a guy like Trey Norwood potentially being a starting slot cornerback for some team in the NFL. I think if he's going to have any kind of success, that's where it needs to be. I don't think that he or Trey Brown would be able to hold up on the outside against some of the bigger wide receivers that they've got in the NFL. But yeah, that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, the NFL draft is still a little over 2 months away, and a lot can change between now and then, you know, as these pro days happen and the NFL scouting combine, although it's going to be more regional this year, it'll still play a role and have an impact on just how these guys slot and where their final projections end up. And that's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you're tuned in every day here on Locked On Sooners, but coming up, especially on the Thursday episode, you're not going to want to miss the Locked On Sooners Players Lounge. David Walker hosts with former teammates, Teddy Lehman. He's also going to have Mark Clayton on the show, Wes Sims, just big time guests. And we're going to have several episodes of this. David, he sent me a text last night. He's like, I got like 2 hours of content with these guys. So we're going to break that up into several episodes for you all. And we hope you enjoy. Make sure you go back and listen to the previous Locked On Sooners Players Lounge. He had offensive linemen on where they talked about their time working for Schmitty and the different types of workouts that they had. They shared their favorite memories as Sooners. And so make sure you go check those out. Those are great, great episodes that it doesn't matter if they're 2 weeks old, they're still excellent content. You know, they're not time specific. Just a look back onto what their time was like playing for the Oklahoma Sooners in the early 2000s in particular. But so again, make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On Sooners podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're available on radio.com, Spotify, Apple, Google, everywhere you get your podcasts. Make sure you go follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sooners and on Facebook, Locked On Sooners Podcast. For David Walker, who you'll hear tomorrow, my name is John Williams. We'll see you then, Boomer Sooner.